Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the deep dive on the day that it has been confirmed that Liverpool are rehiring. Well, actually, Liverpool aren't rehiring, I suppose, Michael Edwards. Michael Edwards is coming in as a football CEO of FSG. That's what it is about, Josh. I'm joined by you for this one, of course. Having written a book recently called Data Game, available from all good publishers and some nefarious ones as well. On Liverpool's data thing, I thought, what better way? We cancelled the Alexi McAllister show. We thought we'd talk about Michael Edwards instead. And on the surface of things, what were your first feelings when you found out that Michael Edwards will be returning?
Very, very excited. Great news for me. Like, I mean, this kind of stuff is generally viewed as a bit boring, isn't it? From maybe the typical...
Yeah, it's mad because I love it.
Yeah, so do I. I think it's so important. So I really do. I think... The people at the top of the chain, who you don't actually hear much from, are so responsible for the decisions that get made day to day, in terms of the players that you sign, the people you appoint, directions to go in, and all, you know, the kids that get spotted in your academy and get progressed through the ranks and stuff. It all stems from your key decision makers, yeah, and the structure that's in place and stuff. And Edwards has proved himself over the past decade or so to be an absolute master operator when it comes to making smart decisions, building the squad, just everything. I mean, he's got like virtually a flawless record, hasn't he?
Yeah, well, I think you think back to Liverpool in the late noughties, and you think back to Manchester United today, if you're a mess off the pitch, you're generally a mess off on the pitch as well.
Yeah.
And listen, Guardiola... And the 115 charges, I don't want to talk about all that today, but know that it's at the forefront of my mind always. But Manchester City, before they appointed Guardiola, got the setup behind the scenes right. Yeah. Got the people in that Guardiola wanted. They covered the money up and they made sure that they were going to be successful for the long term.
Exactly.
So, and that's what happened. And Liverpool, it looks to me like today, I've made the decision that Michael Edwards is the guy to bring us back to the future. And that's essentially what it is.
Yeah. Well, if you get the process right, mate, everything else kind of falls into place, is what I've found since, like, you know, delving into this kind of subject and stuff. Get the process right and everything else will work itself out. Like, there's loads of examples of clubs who've pumped all kinds of money at their football operation, but the structure is not in place. The people are clueless. They end up going round in circles, like they're blind or something, and they just make no progress. Sometimes they get worse. You know, look at Chelsea. Chelsea have spent like a billion since Todd Bowley came in. They've appointed all kinds of these executives and all that. They haven't got a clue what they're doing. Yeah. They haven't got any better.
Comes from the top man, Todd Bowley.
Yeah. If you look at Everton, Everton's a good example. Mashiri comes in, loads of money. Start throwing at players. They haven't got a clue what they're doing. So they end up getting worse. They end up fighting for relegation. Man United, similar. Loads and loads of money at players. If you've got your process right and your key decision makers in place who know what they're doing, you don't go and spend 90 million on Anthony. You don't appoint Ole Gunnar Solskjaer because he's won that 5 games in a row and keep him in charge for 3 years. You don't go and sign Cristiano Ronaldo because of sentiment. That's the process that you have to get in place. And Liverpool, when Edwards was here, that process was immaculate. It's nice to see that now that Klopp's leaving. Just re-establish the process that delivered success then.
Right, absolutely. And it's going to differ. We know that now. He's going to be the CEO of football for FSG.
Yeah.
And it's highly likely, I think, that FSG starts to explore the multi-club ownership thing. And I don't like it. to be honest, I don't think it's good for football in general.
Okay.
I don't think you can have true competition across Europe and across the world where, personally, there is one club that's always going to be the dominant factor in that. Like, what I do understand is that I think that it's a good thing that FSG are pursuing it because it's better for Liverpool, but I do not like it. I do not like it at all because I just don't think... I like competition, and competition should be fair. And I think multi-club ownership goes against that fairness, personally. Yeah, it will help Liverpool. Ultimately.
Yeah, it probably will, yeah. I think, for the most part, for me, it depends how you do it. It depends on how you use it, basically. And I don't think it makes that much sense to do... Well, it does. I'm going to say City then. City, you know, taking over the world, basically. Obviously, I can see why they're doing it, to explore these markets and things like that, but I think if Liverpool do it, if FSG do it, it won't be too many clubs. It'll be probably one, and it'll be with a view of maybe replicating what Red Bull have done a little bit. I think Red Bull inspired Kirby a little bit.
Michael Edwards went over and spent time at Salzburg while he was discussing building Kirby, didn't he? So yeah, of course that's going to be at the forefront of his thinking.
I know Liverpool have been interested, like kind of inspired by Red Bull's ability to poach players from the likes of Africa and places like that. That's something that I remember speaking to someone around the book who said that was initially going to be something that Julian Ward was going to be doing, but then it got binned or something to do with exploring Africa as in a scouting capacity or something like that. So it depends where this multi-club thing's going to be. If it's going to be in Europe competing for the Champions League potentially with Liverpool, if it's going to be much, much smaller, could be anything. So
I think off the top of my head, I think there was rumours a little while ago, of Michael Edwards exploring the possibility of buying a Portuguese football club with a view to tapping into the South American market.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
That wouldn't surprise me at all, yeah, exactly the same. Because that's essentially a European unmined field, isn't it?
You know, when you think about that, it does sound attractive, doesn't it?
It's attractive from a Liverpool football club point of view, and I'm a Liverpool football club fan, and I am trying to be
objective.
Mm. I think I just don't like it, but I can also see the benefits for Liverpool.
Yeah, I don't think, as I said, I think it's okay if depending on the club that you acquire and the plans and the expectations, and that, I think it's a bit wrong to acquire a club and basically kill the club, essentially. But say, for example, Brighton have done it. You know, Michelin's owner is the same owner as the owner of Brentford, Matthew Benham. They've done it. So, but they've only got one. They've got Brighton, they've got the Premier League club, and they've got the one extra one. One's in Denmark, Tony Williams is in Belgium. Liverpool's could be anywhere, I don't know. But I do think it makes sense if you use it well.
I think the City Group or whatever they're called, City Football Group, CFG, I think it is, something like that. Mm. They're probably the biggest that everybody knows now. Probably the best well-run one, maybe, or the most well-run one is the Red Bull Group. Mm. There's a clear pathway for people coming from emerging markets in terms of football to go into the first team of a big football club. And I think that's what Liverpool would essentially be the last stop on a series or a train. Now, it wouldn't surprise me because of our ownership to have an MLS team at some point in the future.
Yeah.
As an actual proper footballing entity that doesn't have anything to do with Liverpool. And I'm okay with that. I actually understand that. You're never really going to compete against an MLS team. You're not going to get into Champions League games against them, for example. You know, but, and then my brain starts spinning, Josh, because I'm like, Peter Moore's announced Santa Barbara FC in the next division down from MLS, that's going to go into place. And I think he announced it in 2022. They launch in 2025 as Santa Barbara FC, a men's and a women's team, with the view, I'm assuming, of getting into the MLS at some point through an expansion.
Mm.
There's also Ian Eyre over there, who's a director of one of the teams over there as well. Like, if they're getting it all bang back together and Michael Edwards is there and Peter Moore's started himself a football club over there, maybe America is a market they'll look to explore. Maybe it's not just football. maybe it's head of football operation to begin with, but then it expands to sport because the data and the knowledge that these guys have can be used in different areas of the field. And I've gone massively off topic here because the ownership is not something I even mentioned on there. But then you can sort of think, well, Portugal, South American players, yeah, Red Bull, Africa, all that type of stuff. You can see the benefits of Liverpool. And I think that leads into the question, how do you think this role will differ from his previous role?
Well, his previous role was obviously really hands-on. It was day-to-day. He was at Anfield. He was directly responsible for recruitment, taking part in recruitment meetings, and I think ultimately making the final decision really with Klopp's green light on who to sign and things like that. Mm-hmm. This role seems more basically Mike Gordon's role, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Where he's kind of higher up. Whatever sporting director comes in will kind of like lean on him a little bit maybe, and use his contacts potentially or something like that. But I think I would view it as almost Edwards going from a club manager to a national team manager.
Okay.
You know, in that sense where like, you're not anywhere near as busy. Well, not busy, but like, you know, just...
You're setting the direction without having to do the nitty-gritty.
Yeah, he's said like how intense the job is, and I completely get it, and he did do it for a decade, like 10 years of it. Like, say, for example, me, like, just, you know, complete side note, I have been a writer now for like 5, 6, 7 years or something like that. I'm now at a point in my career where I'm doing videos more. I kind of prefer this a lot of the time than writing. If you were to say to me, do you want to keep writing loads and loads and loads of articles again? I'd probably be a bit more like, well, I'd rather do a bit more of this, I think. Do you know what I mean? Mm. I think he seems like that type where like he wants that, like when he left, he in his like his letters to Liverpool supporters, it was very like, I believe in change and stuff. And so I think that's kind of what he's after. And, you know, you mentioned Red Bull earlier. Red Bull have kind of established like a, almost like a graduate scheme, like a university thing. Like, you know, you're in school, then you're in college, then you're in university, then you move to Liverpool if you're good enough. But they've got like Liefering, you know, who, you know, you've got like kind of like a feeder club there almost. Then you move to Salzburg if you're good enough. Then if you move to Salzburg and you play well enough, you move to Leipzig.
If you're good enough, you go to Bayern Munich?
Yeah, or Liverpool, I do.
That's kind of the end of the road, isn't it?
Yeah. But I think that's kind of what Liverpool maybe would be interested in establishing, your own kind of network. Because if Liverpool send out Reece Williams on loan, you are reliant on that club to use him. Where did he go? Where it didn't work? Was it Aberdeen or Bristol City or something like that?
Well, this is your point's spot on, I think, because you're too
reliant
on the other team playing the way that you play and using the player and how you want him to be used to develop. And I think Liverpool have got better at this over the years of sending people out on loan and loan actually becoming worthwhile. But if you own that football club, then you know exactly how the coaches are taught. It's the same almost in a lot of ways as what will Liverpool have in their own house now. It's the unders playing up through all the age groups to the academy, to the first team. Everyone singing from the same hymn sheet. All the coaches know exactly what the aim of these players in 10 years' time is. How do we get them there?
Yeah.
Except you are now making it easier for them to go and get professional football against people that they consider good enough to improve the player.
Yeah,
that's just not in the under system because it doesn't exist. Because of, you know, you, I don't know whether you're old enough to remember this, but reserve football used to be better probably for the development of those players than the youth football, because you can play against your under 23s or your under 21s or your under 18s, but you're only playing an age group. You're playing 15 years of age group men's football.
Mm.
Like you're playing the best of the best across 15 years, not the best of the best of someone who's the same age as you. It just doesn't translate. That next step is so difficult to take that you need real football.
Yeah, like another example is like some Liverpool supporters have a tendency to like, if you buy a player for a lot of money who's already moved to Brighton, some people say like, why didn't you just get him when he was in South America? McAllister's a good example. We signed Alexis McAllister, sorry, Brighton signed Alexis McAllister from Argentinos Juniors, I think. He stays there on loan for the remainder of that season. Then he goes on loan to Boca Juniors. Further down the line, we finally see him in the Premier League. He looks boss. Looks like Brighton have won away at the gem. If Liverpool were to sign that initial Alexis McAllister, he doesn't play for Liverpool. He's not good enough. If you've got a feeder club you just keep him in your network until he is good enough, and then he plays for Liverpool.
Yeah.
So it does make sense, and I can see why Edwards wants to be a part of that kind of bigger growth, that bigger development. And the fact he's been appointed, in addition to it being good for Liverpool's future, is just good for Liverpool evolving as like a, you know, this network that we want them to be, because it can only benefit you.
Absolutely. I just want to say thank you to Veronica, who sent us a super chat to say great news that he's returned to our football club. I think we'd all agree with you there, Veronica. Really appreciate that. So I want to focus a little bit more just on Edwards. How highly in the industry is he regarded?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Daddy, I must admit it's a difficult one to talk about, because he's renowned for wanting to be anonymous. He hates being a story. Shuns the limelight, and I've been to football conferences with him, sat next to him and stuff, and he has
with him.
Well,
you and Aaron been near at the same football conference. I didn't
I could smell him and everything was great.
Did you touch him?
I didn't, but I was tempted to.
Did you sniff him?
But where was I then?
You've been to a football conference and you shunned the limelight.
Well, he has like a fake name.
And you didn't touch him or sniff him.
He has like a fake name and everything.
Does he? Yeah,
like he doesn't want to be, you know.
What did it say? Joe Bloggs?
He has a different one every time.
Does he? Do you think there's something in there?
Well, he just doesn't want to be noticed. He wants to be anonymous. He wants to be under the radar and stuff. But despite that, he's a proper network.
Because if he turned up and he had Josh Williams on his fucking name tag.
I'd be made up, to be honest, mate, I think. But yeah, what was I saying then? You've sent me again.
Sorry, mate. I can't help you this time.
Oh yeah, despite being that kind of person, he's a real networker as well, though. It's kind of the media side that he shuns, but like that doesn't mean he's shy or something like that. He's been offered plenty of jobs since he's been out of work.
United, Chelsea, PSG, been rumoured, all kinds.
Yeah, just a lot. And he's turned them all down. And the interest in him is because of what he's established at Liverpool. Like it's not just a case of like he's bought a few good players for Liverpool. When he got to Liverpool, we didn't have an analysis department. He established that.
He hired Ian Graham.
We didn't have a data science department. He hired Ian Graham to establish that. Takes part in their recruitment meetings and that, challenges Rodgers all the time, and they clash a little bit and stuff.
Signs up with Firmino.
Yeah, signs Firmino when Rodgers wants Benteke. So they make a compromise and get the same player in the same summer. Funnily enough, one of the little side notes on that, when Rodgers was saying, I want Benteke, Edwards suggested Lukaku as a compromise, but Rodgers said no.
That's all right, because if we'd have got Lukaku, we'd have got a Klopp.
Yeah.
So sliding doors moments.
Yeah, but that would have been interesting though, because Lukaku was a good striker, mate. Lukaku's a good player, but whether he's a Klopp player is a different question, but that's interesting anyway. But I think it will be interesting now to see like what a Liverpool operation looks like when Edwards just has full control, if that's what he's got. Because when it was Klopp, you can only have so much control when Klopp's in the room, mate. He's just like a godlike figure at Liverpool, isn't he? And before that, Rodgers was a nightmare for him. So to see him now in a position where he's kind of top of the chain, you'd like to think Liverpool are not going to make a single mistake, but it's not as simple as that, is it?
I do think there was an interesting story, I can't remember if it was in The Athletic that I read, it might have been, where they spoke about how we looked at and analysed managers' transfer windows. I don't know whether you've seen this one. And the three managers that Liverpool were looking at when we hired Jurgen Klopp, and Edwards' shortlist essentially, were Jurgen Klopp, Carlo Ancelotti and Eddie Howe. And the reason they didn't pursue Carlo Ancelotti, although he ticked all of the boxes in terms of winning things, European experience, everything else, was he actually weighed more the transfers of their year 3, 4 and 5 as the most important transfers they make, because Edwards realised that in years 3, 4 and 5, the manager has more control over the transfer policy of the football club because their power naturally increases during their time at the football club.
Yeah.
Which is mad to think, because what he's essentially saying is when you come into a football club, you've got to play with the lads around you. Essentially, you've got to go, all right, you're my director of football, you've got the research department, I've kind of got to go with you. But in years 3, 4 and 5, you've been there long enough and established yourself long enough that your voice is heard more. So he judges them on those years, and that was one of the reasons they didn't go for Carlo Ancelotti, because of those transfers, not the early year ones.
Yeah, that is interesting.
And it's actually what happened with Jurgen, if you just play that scene out, and you know, by year 5, is Edwards on his way?
Yeah. Yeah, that's
and the manager's got more and more control as it's gone along.
Yeah, that is interesting. Like, I've never read that story, I don't think. But it does make sense, and you know, even adopting data to kind of recruit Klopp in a way, and you know, there's that famous story, isn't he, where he nearly gets relegated in his final season. Liverpool apply numbers to his case to determine whether he's good or bad, and he was just unlucky. And Edwards is one of them kind of data literate football people, if you want to, who can have a convo with both sides, whereas a lot of people,
because he was a footballer growing up,
a lot of people side towards one side. So yeah, he's kind of the complete package, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, we know he hasn't sat on his laurels since he left Liverpool. We know he's had fun turning down the likes of Chelsea, who offered him their sort of head of CEO, probably, I think it was, of Chelsea. We know Man United wanted him pre their takeover stuff, I think it was. And we know he set up Ludonautics with Ian Graham and a fella from Statsbomb whose name I can't remember. Do you know this one? Their direct, what would they be? The chief data officer was a fella who was the data guy from Statsbomb for 3 years or something like that.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I forget his name. He's on their website. If you just scroll down to the bottom, I think he had 4 years running basically Statsbomb's data team. Which, if you don't know Statsbomb and you're with us in Deep Dive, where have you been? Because we talk about this stuff all the time. This guy here up there, Dinesh Vanvani, Chief Data Officer, Statsbomb, Head of Data Science. We now know as well that he's stepping down from his position at Ludonautics. June the 1st to take over the role of a football CEO, and I imagine that's because of Ludonautics working with a British football club already. That will have to have been the case.
There's naturally a conflict there. he's got to do that.
But he's not sat on his laurels, and I think that's the sort of point of this, is that actually what him and Ian Graham and Dinesh Vetvani have tried to achieve with Paul Jackson, the Chief Technology Officer, is that they will have learned a lot at Liverpool, and these mad scientists will have gone, what's next? And I think that's the interesting part for me. We're not just getting a guy to do the same job as he did last time. This is a guy who's trying to push the boundaries of what can be done. And all right, we're not going to have Ludonautics behind it, but he's in those conversations. He knows what the future is, not just what the past is.
Well, one of the interesting things with Ludonautics is that that's not a new thing at all. This is in my book, you know, there's like a paragraph, basically a chapter dedicated to it, where like what you'll find in the football world is a lot of data scientists who do work in the space, get experience of setting up departments or whatever, get to a point fairly soon where they leave. And they leave because they don't get listened to. They don't get empowered. And they've got all this data, all this intelligence, but then the guy at the top is making decisions because of his own ego, a gut feeling, a relationship that he's got with an agent or something like that. So they end up leaving. Sarah Rudd did that with Arsenal, kind of, sort of. Javier Fernandez with Barcelona. Luke Bourne with Roma. There's loads of examples. And when Ian Graham announced that he was leaving Liverpool, that was my fear. My fear was, are Liverpool deviating from the data-driven decisions? Has Klopp kind of got the keys now? So it looks now, to me, like Klopp's leaving. FSG want to go maybe back to the beginning to re-establish that initial model of data at the forefront. The guy at the top is the smart one and he makes the decisions and everyone kind of coincides with that. And it's interesting that Richard Hughes, for example, is linked. Just one of Edward's best mates, known each other for a long, long time. They are not going to clash. They're not going to conflict, going to listen to each other, come to a common ground. Hopefully they'll appoint a manager who's similar like that. And then you end up making really good decisions all the time in the market, especially because everyone's aligned then. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it feels like we're kind of going back to go forward a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the Richard Hughes is interesting, isn't it? The Richard Hughes stuff, obviously, I think they were together when he was, Michael Edwards was maybe head of analytics, was he? Or an analyst, maybe. Probably just an analyst, I think, at Portsmouth when Richard Hughes was a player there and they struck up a friendship, didn't they? And obviously we know that Richard Hughes has gone on to be a very good director of football, who's well thought of in Bournemouth. Maybe not the exciting name that Liverpool fans would want, but if there's a relationship there, then you can trust that they'll work well together. I think he has done some good deals. I think that Dom Solanke deal at the time didn't look good. Now, actually, it looks very, very good. And actually, some of the players they brought through under his stewardship and sold are actually some of the best deals that he's had, rather than you looking at the likes of the Brad Smiths and all that type of stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's really interesting that these two are coming in as a pair. I think, you know, for me, it's always felt like if Liverpool want to get the next guy in, they have to sort the director of football stuff out first. It's felt like one's led to the other. Rather than a director of football coming in when the manager's already in, who's exerting his power in an empty room, and it's naturally just going to fill up.
Yeah.
And then when the director of football walks in, it's like, well, there's only a little corner here for me already. He's only been in like 2 months or something. Whereas the director of football comes in, and then exactly what you've said, you are setting it out for the next 10 years of how Liverpool is going to be run.
Well, again, that's what felt wrong, you know, last summer. Schmadke, Klopp appointing him, basically by the sounds of it, and Klopp already being in the building. You're not going to come in with any level of authority when Klopp's already here. He's been here for like 8-9 years. He's a god, messiah and that. So, you know, that dynamic felt weird when it was like, you know, it was Liverpool going to appoint and Klopp was trying to make out that it wasn't his appointment and stuff. But now that Klopp's leaving, it does give Liverpool, does give FSG this opportunity to, as I said, just kind of restart. And I think his name in isolation, which is used, I must admit, I don't know too much about him, but the fact he has that relationship with Edwards and the fact that Liverpool's kind of infrastructure in terms of the programmes that Ian Graham established and all that stuff, that is all still in the building. They haven't lost that because Graham's left. That's like intellectual property owned by the club. So, and they've still got data scientists in there. So Hughes will go in with Edwards above him, who has experience of using these platforms.
Yeah. Spearman's still there.
Spearman's still there. The scout is still there. Barry Gunter and Dave Fallows. So I think Hughes will just immediately feel like he's got everything at his disposal to do really, really well. And I think anyone who's a smart operator should do well with them resources at the disposal. So I've got no worries about it.
No, absolutely. And I think obviously, you know, we talk about the structure post-Klopp. I think this is now the time when we're really, truly, honestly going to see the fact that the coach, the manager becomes the coach.
Yeah.
And I think, to be honest with you, I think that's the right decision, Josh, because, you know, long gone are the days of a football manager being able to have enough time in the day to manage your transfers, your scouts, fucking training and play games of football. There is so much data, so much science, so much information involved in running a football club now that...
Yeah.
And on top of all of that, you haven't got the time in the day, but also you've got the best coach in the world down the road. In some people's minds, in Pep Guardiola, you can't be 80% a coach and compete with Pep Guardiola. You've got to be 100% on it in what you're doing day to day. And that power will naturally grow. I think they'll get listened to more over the course of years, of course. But if you've set that in place before the manager walks through the door, the coach can be the coach and I won't see the true continental model.
Yeah, well, I think one of the reasons Liverpool went the way they did under Klopp was because it got to a point where Klopp was no longer really the coach. That was Linders.
Yeah.
So Klopp becomes the sporting director. But initially when Klopp first comes in, Klopp benefits from the sporting director because Klopp's on the training field every day doing the coaching. So it does feel like it's the modern way of doing things. And you know, sometimes when you say this sort of thing, someone points out that Shankly used to do it. And he coped just fine, but
it's
you know,
but
back then, mate, you had no sports science back then. You had, how many demands did you have in a football club back then compared to now? Like it's the manager now would have to be, yeah, the manager now would have to deal with so much outside of the actual coaching on the pitch. So it makes sense to get a structure in place where the manager is the coach and he deals with the football side of things and takes part in recruitment meetings and offers his opinion on what he needs and that. And all of that kind of laborious stuff gets done by the director of football and maybe Edwards above him helping out.
Yeah, it feels like Liverpool got the very own Triforce if you're a Zelda fan. Anyway, is Xabi Alonso the final piece of the puzzle?
Well, that's going to be interesting.
Here's a question for you.
Go on.
What if Edwards doesn't like Xabi Alonso?
I guarantee you he will like him. I guarantee you that. But the issue... I have looked at this recently on my Substack for the past couple of weeks. I've been looking for a manager using data and stuff, and obviously my stuff's nowhere near as complex as what they're going to use. But Xabi Alonso definitely looks good in the data. 1,000,000%. So there's no worries there. He's an up-and-coming coach. He's going to be a champion, I think. He's unbeaten in every competition.
Carabag nearly got him.
He did, yeah, to be fair. But that's still nuts, though, isn't it? That is crazy, that. So there's no concerns there. The problem, if you want to call it a problem, is the sample size. Sometimes, especially when it comes to data and FSG and all that, it is about making decisions based on evidence. Whether they think they have enough evidence yet on Alonso is a question mark, because you've got double the evidence, treble the evidence with Nagelsmann and with Amorim, for example. They're both champions as well. Both got really good data. We know how much Liverpool seems to like Portugal for whatever reason, scouting over there and that. Amorim's doing brilliant over there, has been doing brilliant over there for 5 years now. So if it's not Alonso, it will be because he doesn't want it or because Liverpool want to go with someone who they think is more proven. But if Alonso goes and wins the Bundesliga with them numbers behind him, I mean, he's still relatively proven, like, so.
And listen, Klopp was signed off similar things, wasn't he?
Yeah.
You know, all right, it's more of a data sample to choose from, but winning the Bundesliga will have quelled any fears, I suppose, in a couple of years.
Yeah. One thing with Klopp, though, Klopp did have 14 years behind him as a manager. Alonso's got not even two yet in the senior game, if you're excluding Real Sociedad B. So there's an element of risk there, and that's the thing. It'll be interesting to see how we go in this data-driven era now with Edwards in charge and Hughes underneath him maybe, and the manager being the coach and stuff like that, because decisions will be completely objective. There'll be no sentiment, rightly so as well. So, for example, the fact Alonso played for Liverpool.
Irrelevant.
I don't even think it'll be fucking in.
And yet, there's one matter. Football club in the world where that might matter more than any of the others.
Yeah.
Liverpool Football Club.
Yeah, I know.
Because
it
does matter to us.
Yeah. I can understand why the man on the street right would think it matters, but it doesn't. It really, bottom line is it doesn't. I think it will get supporters on side initially, but if Amorim goes and wins his first 5 games, 5-0, supporters are on side. Doesn't matter. The bottom line is that the coach is good. Alonso's good, so it doesn't matter. But that appointing someone because they know the club, nonsense.
Nonsense, you heard it here first. That has been the Deep Dive. He's been Josh Williams and Chris Pajak. Thank you everybody who's joined us live for this one. Big thank you to Victoria as well, who sent the super chat in earlier on. Really appreciate the fact that people seem to really love this show. And yeah, we'll be back next week with another pair of Deep Dives.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.